22. If you'll take your Bibles and turn there. I want to get right into the passage this morning. Just a review that it's taken a little longer than probably you would think, but that's not unusual for me. But as I began to look at this passage where I wanted to get the third question, there were two other questions that were asked for you guests and visitors that are here that haven't been through this. And they asked three questions. The first question the Pharisees had to do with money. And Jesus had the perfect answer for them and said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God. And I'm not going to explain that to you. We already did, but what a great answer. And that quieted the Pharisees. So the Sadducees stepped up and said, we're going to ask you a question. And this was all to entrap Christ, to make him look stupid in front of the people, either in stupid to Rome or stupid to the people. And they asked him a question and said, "What, you know, in the resurrection, a man had, a woman was married to all seven of the sons and they all died. And when she gets to heaven, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And so when she gets to heaven, which one's going to be her husband?" And Christ had such an amazing answer. He said, you fail. You don't even understand, because you don't understand the scriptures and you don't understand the power of God. And that quieted the Sadducees. So they come to a third question. This is a third, and this is the last one they dare ask Christ. Now, I know his crucifixion is just down the road a little bit, and they'd had it. Haven't been able to foil him, but the lawyer comes up to him, and we covered this last week. A lawyer, which is a scribe, a studier of God's law, the Old Testament law, and so a lawyer today would know the laws of the land. But in that day, a lawyer would know the laws of God's word. They would know the Old Testament Mosaic law. And he came up and he asked the question. He said, what is the greatest commandment of Moses? What is the greatest commandment of the law? And Moses gave the law. So he essentially, what is the greatest commandment? And they asked that question because the Pharisees had taken all the laws of the Old Testament, over 600 of them now, and they really had taken them all. They've added some of their traditions and different things to it, but they came up with like 630 laws that were there. And what they did is they would divide them with to heavy to light, or to big and to little. Things you have to keep, things, well, you know, it's not so bad if you don't keep them. And they would rate all 600 and plus of those into an order. And so the Pharisees had what was the first commandment of Moses, and the second and third, they had it all the way down to the 600 plus. And they had divided that, and they figured that Jesus would probably answer differently. Now, Jesus had come, but Jesus was coming to bring in a new covenant. We talked about this in Sunday school. The new era was coming. God was going to set Israel aside, and he had. At the end of Malachi, he sets Israel aside, and for 400 years, God never spoke to Israel. And he's setting Israel aside. He's putting them on a shelf. Now, he's gonna bring them back one day, and they're going to have the promised land that he promised them in the millennial period. But for now, he set them on a shelf for 400 years, and then Jesus comes on the scene, and he begins to prepare really his disciples and the people, the Christians, that it's no longer going to be law under law, but under grace. And so his teaching was quite a bit different than the Pharisees, because all the Pharisees knew was Old Testament law, the Mosaic law. But Jesus was teaching some different things. So they knew if this lawyer asked him this question, what is the greatest commandment? It wouldn't probably match theirs. And this is when they would get him. This would be where they'd make him wrong and entrap him before the people. But when they asked Jesus that question, he gave the greatest answer that was possible to be given. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And I don't know if, Larry, you can put that up there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What a great answer. And the reason this was such a great answer was for the fact that this was part of the Shema. And again, we talked about this last week. That was the most important passage to all Jews. Matter of fact, Jews, if you were a really good Jew and you followed God's law, you would. This is the first passage you would teach to your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the first passage you would teach your children. When you went to prayer, you would write it out in a parchment and put it on your forehead or put it on your left arm. You would take that and write it out and put it on the gates of your door in a box outside that people could see it when they came up to your door. You would recite this from memory at least two times a day. I mean, this was the greatest. Even the Jews counted this to be the greatest passage of Moses. And I don't think it was number one with the Pharisees. But when Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, the Pharisees could not disagree with that answer because it's the truth. That is the greatest commandment. That could take away all the commandments of Moses if we would learn at least the first five commandments, if we'd learn to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. You know, there's not a doubt in my mind that there are a lot of Christians out there that love the Lord. And they're born again and saved, and they love the Lord. But I don't think there's a lot of Christians out there that love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. Because when you, that means you love the Lord with everything you've got. That puts God in the right priority in your life. That puts church. And again, you say, why do you include the church? Because Jesus Christ loved the soul. It's a picture of the marriage. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. Christ loved the church. The church is God's way to carry out his plan until his return. And if God loved the church so much, if Christ loved the church so much, how much we should love it. And how much we should be committed to what Christ loves. And he says, if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, you're going to put church in the right priority. You're going to put your lives in right priority. You know, again, a person says, well, I love the Lord, and that could be true. But if a person says, I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, then there shouldn't be a question. You read your Bible every day. You'll love to get into God's word. And I'm not saying if you got busy and forgot about it, or you had to be gone and you missed a day of reading God's word. That's not what I'm talking about. But you'd have a passion to be in God's word. You'd want to know God's word. You'd want to literally somewhat study God's word. If you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, there'd be a time where you set aside that you pray to God, you talk to God. Now, that's why John said, he said, if you say you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, what is the proof of that? Well, if you love God like that, then you'll what? Keep his commandments. Those things become natural to you. To spend time in God's word, to spend time in God's prayer, to even be a witness and invite folks to church, because it's priority in your life. You want to represent Jesus Christ. You want to live a holy and righteous life, and it helps you in your decision process. But John says, if you say you do that, which many Christians do, but you don't keep my commandments, then I'm not saying this, but John said, then you're a liar. He called you a liar, and he said the truth of God is not in you. Because how do you say you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, but yet you don't keep his commandments? You're not faithful to him. Now again, is it the end of the world? No. If you love God this morning, praise the Lord. If you have a love for him and you appreciate that Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for you and gave his life for you, and you're thankful he did, and you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, that's wonderful. If you love God this morning, that's a great thing, that once in a while you get into his word and you try to be as faithful as you can to church and the different things. That's wonderful. I'm not minimizing that. But that's not the difference maker. The difference maker is when you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And I used this last week, and then I'm going to go on. But Jesus, that was the disciples. Before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his resurrection and ascension, I think the disciples loved the Lord. But I don't think they impacted like they could. Because we see when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, they all fled from him. We even see Peter went close by and got in there through John, and he denied Christ. I believe six times he outwardly denied Christ to six people. But I believe Peter loved the Lord, but not with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind. But after the resurrection, you know, Peter was still discouraged, and he said, "I go fishing." Jesus met him there and he asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter?" Because that's the key, but not just love me. Not a appreciation love, not a phileo love, but a love that's unconditional. "Peter, do you love me?" Because that's what it's going to take. Because, Peter, there's some things designed for you coming down the road. Great persecution's going to happen to you, Peter. You're going to fall under the gun of a lot of people. And Peter, the key is you have to love the Lord thy God. You have to love me with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And that's exactly what transformed the disciples in the book of Acts. I think they went from loving God to loving God with all their heart and soul and mind, and they turned the world upside down. Before his crucifixion, they fled when they feared for their lives. When it came time for that, each one of them except the Apostle John, who was put on the island of Patmos and burned in boiling oil, all of them gave their lives willingly for the cause of Jesus Christ. They were martyred for his cause. Why? Because they learned to love the Lord thy God. See, that's the difference maker. And so I'm not making you feel bad if you just love God. I'm glad you love God. I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad you're born again. But that's not the difference maker. That's not when the persecution comes and the trials come and the testing's coming and the way this world is going. Folks, I'm just pre-warning you, it's going to come. We're not going to enjoy down the road, as I see it, the freedoms that we enjoy right now. There's going to come a time where you have to make some choices. And I'm afraid so many Christians that just love the Lord are going to make some wrong decisions. The key is to making the right decisions. The key is to making a difference for turning the world upside down is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. With all your being. Now, that doesn't mean every second you have to think about God. It doesn't mean every second you have to be at church. It doesn't mean every second you have to be in God's Word, but it has to become precious to you. Prayer has to become something that is a part of you. Church has got to be something, because that's God's plan to carry out His mission. You've got to be committed to it if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And so, again, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just showing you the difference maker. That's what Jesus was saying here. He's saying the first and greatest commandment that Moses gave was to love the Lord thy God. In the Old Testament, he said, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. It repeated it, mind, and that might and mind, that the mind controls the might we have. If you love the Lord thy God with all of it, you know, you may not change Fremont, but you can change somebody. You may not change hundreds of people, but you may change that one. But I think the key is here, what Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And so that's become our theme at Faith Baptist Church, a great commitment to the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Do I expect everybody's going to do that? No. But I hope there's some of you that'll put the right priority. And Jesus will become that focus in your life. And again, you don't have to turn your whole world upside down. But you have to love him. To the point where you have such a relationship with him that, you know, I keep going back to Stephen. When he went before the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and all the people there, and they saw his face. His face was what? The face of an angel. He had such a love and passion for God that it was seen in his face. And you know, your face isn't going to shine, probably like that. But I tell you what, people see your face. And when I look at the face of somebody, I can usually tell if they love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind, because they have a different disposition about them. There's some folks that I've been a part of their lives, and they've let me be a part of their lives that, boy, it's very obvious. They love the Lord thy God. They're God with all their heart, with all their soul. I remember traveling neighborhood Bible time that was probably an experience that changed my life. A funeral director yesterday, as I did a funeral, asked me why I went to the ministry. And I told her it was I saw a man, Charles Holmsher. Now, some of you wouldn't get along with him. He could be a very cantankerous man. See, I saw a side of him some of you never, ever will get to see, because he's went home to be with the Lord. But I remember the first time he invited me to come in and pray with him. I said, okay, we'll be in there for 10 minutes. 4 hours later, that wasn't me praying. Man, I turned every which way. We were on our knees for 4 hours. And you would have thought that God was right there and you could reach up and touch God. Well, that man changed my life, because I realized that God was attainable if you'll just ask him. I've never seen a man that loved the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind like Brother Holmsher did. It changed my life. That's what people need to see if you want to be a life changer. But now, let me get that. That's just the first commandment. See, now Jesus, he's so brilliant. He knew that the Pharisees had all the commandments. And he said, boys, that's the first commandment. But I'm going to give you the second one as well. Now, this wasn't going to match theirs, I promise you. Based upon all my study of knowledge, it did not match the Pharisees' numbers of heavy and low, light. But Jesus said, since you're numbering all the commandments, I'm going to give you the second one. And you'll find that he said in verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, you shall love thy neighbor as yourself. It's not surprising that this second great commandment involves the same virtue as the first. What love? The command is for a love for your neighbor that is in the same order as the love you already have for yourself. It's a genuine love for one's neighbor is the same kind of genuine love we need to have for God. It's a choice. It's purposeful. It's intentional. It's active. It's not merely sentimental or emotional. It's measured by, as Jesus said, your love for yourself. That's how you measure it. Do I love others as I love myself? You know, if you're hungry, you feed yourself. If you're thirsty, you get something to drink. If you're sick, you take medicine or go to a doctor. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's all because you're consumed with caring for yourself. That's what Jesus is simply saying. You know, you don't simply just talk about or think about food or water or medicine when you're sick or you're hungry or thirsty. You do whatever it takes to provide yourself with those necessities, because you want to be taken care of. And he's saying that's love the neighbor as thyself. Have the same love for your neighbor that you have. The way you want to be treated in life is the way you treat others. The way you want to be accepted in life, that's the way you treat others. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the second and great commandment. And again, just as a person looks out for his own welfare, he is to look out for the welfare of others if he truly loves them. Again, the idea, Jesus isn't telling you you need to love yourself. He already takes that for granted because we do. But he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Again, I don't think this just means you give them money and you give them things. I think it's far more than that. I think you respect the people around you. I think you try to honor the people who deserve to be honored. That's what the Bible says. I think it's for the younger to respect the elder. If they need help to find a seat, you find the seat for them. I love how many people are so willing, like when Rosalie and Dick are back there with her being blind and him being in that chair, it's difficult for them to go through the line. I love it when people come up and say, let me get you some food today. That's what I'm talking about. You see somebody that has a need, you see somebody who's struggling, and you've been so very good to Ed, and Ed has chance times where he just loses and almost falls, and many times he's fallen, and you've come alongside him, and you've helped him so very much. That's what I'm talking about, but those are things you just evident that you see, but keep your eyes open. There's people out there that have needs. There's people out there, and I'm not talking you have to give them money, and I don't think you have to give them all your time. But just the respectfulness of them. You know, Dixie, for those of you who don't know, was in an accident on Monday, and she's fine. We believe she had a little TSA or TIA or whatever, a little stroke, whatever they doctors want to call it. That's what I think she had. She just lost her sense for a minute. She was driving in her car, and she hit an embankment, a cement embankment, and totaled out her car. She'd come to town and she'd stop by, and my wife and I had a chance to go eat lunch with her, and she told us a little bit of the story. She said, I've been in your church a while ago. She said, when I came back that first time, about 4 months ago, she said there was something different. She said, before I got to my seat, I knew that this was going to be my church. She said, I felt like people actually cared. I felt like people actually loved me. They wanted me here. How could I not make that my church? Boy, I'm so thankful for that. But that's what I'm talking about. Loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. But number two is to love your neighbor as yourself. To look out for others. To help meet the needs of others. And I'm so thankful that some of you have really caught this vision. When we, in November, we'll go to our full-time meals, and we'll have a meal after, for the guests and visitors here, we'll have a meal after every morning service. And some of you bring so much because you want to make sure that if there's a guest there, they have food to eat. If there's other people there, and there'll always be enough. Because you think about others and not yourself. I know it takes time. And I know that's why we take about 3, 4, or 5 months off during the summer just to help relax you with that. And I know it's a commitment when the meals start up. But I think it's what separates Faith Baptist Church apart. That fellowship time, that time where older people can eat, have a meal with other people and fellowship with them, not sit at home alone and be alone and eat every meal time after time alone. But we do it for others. I know a couple people probably get cantankerous. But we don't, it's not done for you. It's done for others. Others, Lord, just others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, listen, I think there's a lot of people out there who want to take advantage of Christians. I know there's a lot of people who want to take advantage of Faith Baptist Church because they get a call and all they want is money. And I always tell them the same answer. I'm sorry. We give to our own. If you want to come to church and be a part of our church, we'd love to be a blessing to you and help to you. But why do you call us when you want nothing to do with us? See, I personally don't believe I'm obligated to that because they have no desire for Christ. But you show me somebody who has a desire for Christ, they fall into a trouble. I tell you what, I want to be the first one there to help them. I want to be the first one there to be a blessing and help to them. I want to help those who deserve to be helped, want to be helped. So don't think you have to take care of every need that's out there in the world, because a lot of people take advantage of Christianity. A lot of people take advantage of friends. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's just saying, treat others the same way you would like to be treated. You would like to walk in that door and say, boy, you look nice today. That's what you want to hear. Boy, it's good to have you here. You love to hear the words, I prayed for you this week. But if that's what you love to hear, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. So if you want to know what you need to do for your neighbor, just think about what you want them to do for you, and that's what you do for others. This is the first great commandment. Now, what Jesus has given here is life-changing. Because look what he said, and this is so interesting. The basic requirements of both Judaism and Christianity are summed up in this dual command, to love God and love your fellow man. For Jesus said this in verse, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I mean, if you would obey these two commandments, you've fulfilled all the law and all the prophets. You know, I had a young man in a family visited my church when I was teaching junior church quite a few years ago. That young man was a little bit awkward. He was a little bit different, very not social at all. But he sat and listened. Today, he's in the ministry, doing a wonderful work for the Lord. But he sat and listened, and I taught that Sunday, his very first Sunday there, I taught on, if you have these two commandments, you don't need the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, don't worry about them. They're not even important if you'll just do these. And so what he took out of that is we don't need the Ten Commandments, and he went home and told his mom that. Well, needless to say, I got a visit that week. And I understand where she was coming from. She said, you told my son that the Ten Commandments were important, but I said he didn't tell you the whole story. Because if you have these two things, you don't need the Ten Commandments. See, if you look at the Ten Commandments carefully, the first five of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship to God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. If you will do that, you'll take care of the first five commandments to the best of your ability. And the second of those second five deal with man's relationship to man. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, that'll take care of the second five commandments. And so Jesus said, if you would just listen to me and you did all just these two commandments, you wouldn't need all the law and all the prophet. Could I say it like this? And I know it's hard to understand probably, but let's say you didn't know anything about the Bible. You knew nothing about the Bible. But all you knew is somebody taught you that you're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And you did that. And you loved your neighbor as yourself. You did that. You know what? Without knowing any of the other Bible, you know what you'd do? You'd fulfill it all. Because it's all summed up in that. You see, people misunderstand the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments weren't given for a guideline for which you live. Now, are there some wonderful things in the Ten Commandments? Sure there are. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. But God knew in those Ten Commandments, when he took his finger and carved out that stone and wrote those Ten Commandments upon that stone and sent it down to Israel, he didn't give it that Israel would obey all those, because he knew that was impossible. He He gave us the Ten Commandments to show us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. Because if you read the Ten Commandments clearly and carefully, you won't be able to, it's impossible for you to keep them. And you say, so God gave us the Ten Commandments to live by, but I can't keep them. Exactly. Because all he do is want to show you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. But he said, if you'll just love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, and you'll love your neighbor as yourself, if you apply these two commandments, there's no need for the other 600 commandments, because you will fulfill them all to the best of your ability. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean every second you're going to be reading your Bible, every second you're going to be praying, but it becomes a priority in your life. Oh, you still have responsibilities. Some of you at work. Some of you in the home. Some of you with your family. You still have responsibilities. And God understands that. But he said that if you really want to see my power, if you really want to see me answer prayer, if you really want to see me make a difference in your community, then you're going to have to take it from the love aspect that you appreciate. You honor what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. But you need to take it to a new level. You need to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And while you're getting that down, love your neighbor as yourself. Because all the Bible, all of God's word, all of Christianity hangs upon these two commandments. If you do them. But, now remember, John had it right. Say, yeah, Pastor, I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and I love my neighbor as myself. I'm always doing good for others. But if you want to know if you're being truthful, answer the question, do you keep his commandments? Do you pray? See, this isn't me as your pastor saying you need to pray. But this is John and Jesus saying, if you honestly believe you do love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and you love the neighbor as yourself, then you'll keep my commandments. You'll spend time with me. You'll spend time in my word. You'll spend time in prayer. You'll love the church as much as I love the church. You'll live holy and godly to the best of your ability. That's the key. That's the key. That's why I got to figure out how to get, you can't see it very well with the light, but the one symbol that I want you to get familiar with is, and Pastor Josh made these up for me and did a wonderful job, but it's a heart. Thou shalt love. And inside that heart is a cross. So he took a heart and put a cross in it, and that represents the people that love the Lord thy God. You just love God because Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for you and gave his life for you. You love him for that, and you love God for just being your heavenly Father. You love him. But then we took it to the next level. And if you look at that closely, there'll be a triangle in there around the cross. And that triangle is for the one who wants to go to the next level. There's three points to a triangle. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal. And so without even quoting that verse, you could look at that heart up there. You could help determine where you're at. Now, if you don't love God, I would ask you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because you're a sinner on your way to an eternity in hell, but you can be saved today. If you get saved, you'll understand what Jesus Christ did, and you'll learn to love God and love Jesus. But it's the Christian that matures. It's the Christian that sees the blessing of God, that understands the blessing of God, that begins to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the transformation. The second is there's people. Love thy neighbor. So I put a neighbor in there and thyself. He put two people in there. That you'll love your neighbor as yourself. If you see these two around here, I'd like to get them blown up. And just as a reminder to you, that's the ultimate goal of Faith Baptist Church. Now, I'll take it if you love God. I'll take it if you love the Lord. That's wonderful. But that's not going to turn Fremont upside down. And Nuevo. And Holton. And White Cloud. And these surrounding communities. I think it's a wonderful thing. But I think the world needs to see Christian who loves the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might, their mind. That's where the difference maker is. And then you love the neighbor as thyself. See, that's why I said it's a great commitment. This is not for everybody. But it's a great commitment to the great commandment. As your pastor, it's my goal that through the preaching of God's word, through living it out in my life, trying to. Honestly, that's why I work so hard. And I know, maybe you don't think I do. But I spend hours up to this church and love every minute of it. I don't take a day off because I don't need a day off. I want you to see a pastor. I know four pastors right now that had to take a sabbatical because they're just tired. I know a pastor that Brother Jerry was talking about up in Traverse City, a wonderful church, and he just took it and his word counts more than the Bible does. Man, I want to be a pastor that loves the Lord, his God, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all my mind. I want my focus. That's my priority. Then I want to love you as I love myself. Through the preaching of God's word, through the teaching of God's word, through my example, hopefully, the light comes on in your head as it came on in mine with Brother Holmshire. Because it was his godly example that I committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ to do whatever he wanted me to do. That's it. That sums up what my goal is for Faith Baptist Church. That's why I call it the Great Commitment to the Great Commandment. Next week, I'm going to show you a man in the Old Testament who did exactly what this command is. And I'm going to show you what he did and how God blessed him for it. And how God literally transformed his life in Israel. But then in 2 weeks, then I'll be done with this series. I'm going to show you where that same man left his first love. And when he left his first love, he left and lost the blessing of God. So I want to show you what you can get for loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. But you grow tired, you grow weary, you fall away from that commitment. I'll show you what happened. It's just a fascinating passage to me. Three chapters in the Old Testament. We'll cover them in the next 2 weeks. But my goal for you is, number one, I hope you all love the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're born again. You're saved, because if you die without Jesus Christ, I just got word. My cousin, I don't think she was even 70. She just passed away last night. I wish I could tell you she went home to be with the Lord. But as far as I know, she wasn't born again. My heart breaks. Don't die in your sins without knowing Jesus Christ. And if you get saved, you'll love Christ, because you'll be thankful for what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. But then I hope for each one of you that leads to loving the Lord thy God. The great commandment, a great commitment to the great commandment of loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the difference maker. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for wonderful attention this morning. It's just my desire for you. But their wording says it's a great commitment. And it is. There's a commitment I've given God every morning that I spend time in his word. I spend time in prayer. It's not the easiest thing to do, folks. I know that. But I can tell you, even though I fail him, when I see Jesus face to face, it'll be worth it all. That great commitment to that great commandment. Really, those great commandments. That's my desire for you. Maybe not today, but one day, that you'll love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.